good evening. Welcome to Saturday Sport Classified. Dave Moore with you here on Manx Radio AM. We'll be bringing you results in football, hockey and rugby. And we'll be looking ahead to tonight's FC Isle of Man live commentary game against Wythenshawe Amateurs. The all-important playoff semi-final. Can the local boys make it through to next week's final and move a step closer to the Premier Division? Also be bringing you three cup draws in football this evening. We'll be hearing from Dave Christian about rugby, Sam Spooner for hockey, and very shortly Tony Mappam for football. So let's crack on with some results then, beginning with football and the Canada Life Men's Premier League. And it was Ayr United 6, Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys 0. Douglas High School Old Boys 0, Corinthians 1. Laxey 0, Peel 0, Moran 2, Union Mills 1. And the game between Rushen and St George's was postponed into Division 2. Castletown 2, Maloo 2. Governors Athletic 0, Onchan 6. Gyms 1, Foxdale 7. Michael United 1, Braddon 0. Canada Life Combination 1, Corinthians 3, Douglas High School Old Boys 6. Peel 8, Laxey 1. Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys 2, Ayr United 4. And Union Mills 8, Moran 4. And in Combination 2, Foxdale 2, Gyms 2, Maloo 1, Castletown 1. Rugby, and the game between Douglas and Kendal was postponed in the Ravenscroft Manx Plate. Western Vikings 52, Emerging Nomads 14, and Vagabonds Hornets 33, Ramsey B 29. On to hockey. Rossborough Women's Premier League, Castletown 1, Valkyries 3. Rossborough Men's Premier League, Ramsey 2, Valkyries 3. Vikings B 4, Valkyries B 3. Rossborough Women's Division 1, Castletown B 2, Harlequins 0. Rossborough Men's Division 1, Vikings C 0, Harlequins 6. And that's it for hockey. So we'll go to football, and we're joined by Tony Mappam. And Tony, good evening. Unfortunately, the game between Rushen and St George's postponed today. And so Ayr United go marching on at the top with a 6-0 win against bottom club Ramsey Youth Centre.
Yeah, good result for Ayr United. And I think it was about 15 minutes into the game they started scoring. But the goal scorers I've got at the moment was Daniel Oram with two. Good to see Danny back. He's been missing for a few weeks. They could do with him for the final on Friday. We've got Phil Dunnigan got a couple of goals as well. So he's really on a rich vein of form at the moment. George Rawlinson got one. We're missing a scorer. So if you could text us through 166177. But the final result was Ayr 6, Ramsey Youth Centre 0 boys 0.
Okay, and the other old boys, Douglas High School, going down 1-0 to Corinthians.
Yeah, it was really late on, Dave. I think it was the last 10 minutes, and it was Adam McCulloch who's returned home at the moment and down playing for the first team. Proven goal scorer. Two or three years ago, we won combination one's leading goal scorer, but today in the first team, deservedly so as well, and he got the winning goal, so 3 points to Corinthians.
We don't have any goal scorers for Lexi Peel because there weren't any.
Good working out that, Dave. But it's not what Laxey really wanted because they play in the final on Good Friday, this coming Friday, and they just wanted, I think, a good show and obviously try and get some goals just to boost up confidence. But it didn't happen for them. But as I touched on at lunchtime, Peel are a changed side. They're looking good. Young lads coming through, playing well. Kept things really solid today, but just couldn't break down the Laxey defence.
The game you went to was Moraine against Union Mills, a close call.
It was a close call. It wasn't the greatest of games in the first 45 minutes. I was struggling to find something to commentate on, to be honest with you.
Was that conditions? Is that because it's a little bit of wind?
It was a little bit windy, but my view is if it's windy, you keep the ball on the deck. Don't give it the big heave-ho and hope that you're going to sort of get something. And I'd say both teams cancelled each other out as well, but it was Conor Gilbert who got the goal to break the deadlock on 64 minutes. Ball crossed in from the left-hand side and the outside of his left foot, he put it in to make it 1-0. And then 5 minutes later, it was Union Mills who equalised. Matthew Mulligan got the goal, so 1-1. And then towards the end, it was Reese Westwell who got the winning goal. And it was a cracking goal. Good move down the left from midfield up to the winger. Winger crossed it in and there was Reese to touch it away. But Union Mills rattled the bar in the last minute. Couldn't get it past Andy Corlett, so the points go to Moraine.
So was it one of those games that Moraine deserved to win, or it could have gone either way, or maybe a draw would have been a fair result?
It could have gone either way. You know, let's forget the first 45 minutes because it was poor by both teams. But in the second half, it opened up a little bit for both groups of players, and I think Moraine deserved it. You know, Cameron Avery solid at the back, and you know, he nearly took the lead with a header from him, to be fair, in the first few minutes. But you know, Moraine, you know, the difficult side to break down. All the top sides seem to struggle a little bit at times with them. Union Mills, they're in transition. There's a lot of good young players coming through in there. And from what I saw today, it's in a good place for Stephen Fox to deal with.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What are the two sides? Are they young? Are they mixed? You know, have they got youngsters coming through?
Yeah, I think certainly Union Mills have got a lot of young players coming through. And that's what you've got to do is if your more experienced players sort of either move on, retire or just get injured, the younger ones get their opportunity. And yeah, there's a lot of lightweight players out there for Union Mills. So maybe Foxy needs to beef them up a little bit. But they've got the ability and it's good to see.
This is the time of the year, really, that you kind of give the young players a chance, I'd imagine.
Well, you have to because when you've got young players coming through, if you don't give them the opportunity, Dave, then they're going to depart and go to other clubs. Mm-hmm. And I think certainly as the senior clubs are seeing at the moment, Rushen, Peel, Corinthians, St George's, is while teams have been decimated with losing players, they've brought the younger players in. They can learn their trade, learn off good players and hopefully improve and push on the following year.
And yet there's an argument to be said you should always play your strongest side.
There is that, but you've also got to look at you know,
keeping
what's best
happy
for the club. Yeah, keeping everyone happy. And, you know, it's just one of those that there's some talented young players in there and you've just got to give them the chance to play for their first team and also the club that they've come through is coming to senior football and see what you can do.
OK, so yeah, unfortunately, as I said, the game between Rushen and St George's was postponed. Let's move into Division 2. I think game of the day had to be the Southern Derby.
Oh, definitely, and I haven't got Castletown's goal scorers, but it was Malou with Doran Tartar got one, and then I believe he got the second one in the last minute to make it 2-2, so a good performance by Castletown, and their scores have picked up over the last few weeks against St John's last week. They only lost out 2-1, so they're going well.
Yeah, Malou, again, have dropped more points in their chase for promotion, and also this was a game I think Castletown needed to win if they had any hope of being anywhere near the top of this. So that's definitely finished them off, hasn't it, as a force for this season?
Well, the way I look at it is, okay, the league to me was always between four, and that was Foxdale, Malou, St John's and Onken. You know, Castletown want to get in for the Paul Henry, and that's doable. With that sort of point today, they're still in touch with that fourth place, so there's still a good opportunity. But it just depends with Malou, because they've got some tough games to come up. St John's one of them. And if they sort of drop points, then I'm not saying the players lose interest, but it can, the performances sort of dwindle and could let Castown in.
And the fixtures are piling up as well, aren't they?
Well, they are piling up, Dave, and I'm really concerned about it, to be honest with you. We start the night, proper night games this week, 6:15 kickoff. We've kept the games as close as we can. We've got one, Ayr against Ramsey. We've consulted with both teams just to make sure that they're happy, in case there's a lot of players working in Douglas, and both teams give us the green light, so that game goes ahead. And then we've got a full set of league programme fixtures after Easter, and then we'll absolutely batter them as the Hospital Cup and the Junior Cup sort of comes into play. They're played over the weekend, and we'll put the league games on rearrange midweek.
Okay, good stuff. So, yeah, so 2-2 for Castletown against Malou. And a close call, a close game up north between Michael and Braddon.
Yeah, it was, and it was Michael 1, Braddon 0. You know, Braddon, well done to them. You're just saying about young players, 7 16-year-olds and 2 under-18s.
Wow.
So we knew this was coming with Braddon. They've had a pretty impressive under sort of when they were 14s, 15s, 16s. Now they're turning 16, they're coming in, and I think Will Smith's taken charge there, and he's had them right the way through that junior setup. So it looks good for Braddon.
That's good, because it wasn't looking so good for Braddon a couple of years ago.
Yeah, if you look back, we were talking about this morning at the FA, is, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, it's been pretty tough for Braddon. You know, when they won the treble, I think it was 6 years ago, and you just expected them to, you know, go up the Premier League and do well, but it hasn't happened for them. And as the sort of older players have got older, the younger players have come in or players have left, and they've got this crop that have been together so long. I think there's a good chance that they will stay together. University's going to prove a problem, always does. But at least they've got the players coming through, and hopefully that'll make the club stronger.
Okay. A good win for Onchan, 6-0 away at Governors, which you'd expect.
Yeah, you would. And Joe Rees with a couple of goals in the first team today. Paul Whitley with one, Paul Morris, Tom Creer again on the score sheet, and Josh Kenyuk. So good performance by Onchan, keeps them in touch with St John's.
And again, youngsters, Onchan have been another club that have always been good for youngsters.
Onchan have got a great conveyor belt, and if they get into the Premier League and can stay with the younger players, the two that I want to see go, because I've watched them, I like them, Ashton Canson, he's just come back in, he scored a couple of goals last week, and also Tom Creer. And I keep saying, you know, I'll keep going, Tom Creer to me is worthy of an Ireland selection, I really do. I watched him in the under-18s final, and even though he's thin, gangly, he's quick, he's got loads of skill, and there's definitely a star in the making there with Tom Creer.
Okay, and if they do go up, Onchan, will they hang on to these players? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
I think they will. They've got a right good, close-knit club at Onchan, and that's what you need. And the improvements at Blackberry Lane as well, with the pitches, the clubhouse down there. I don't think it's their intentions to play senior football there. I could be wrong on that one, but it's more for the junior set up, and it's one of the best setups on the island. You know, it's incomparable with, you know, Laxey, you know, when you look at Corinthians as well. And now you look at Onchan, they're right up there. And if these players stay together, and the quality that I've already seen from them, they're getting top notch coaching too.
And Foxdale, promotion rivals, with a good win away at Jim's.
I haven't got Jim's goal scorer, but for Foxdale, great day for Aaron Costain. He got a hat trick, Jay Chatwood got two. And Kevin Pullman got the other two, so finish up 7-1.
Okay, that wraps up Division 2. Well, we just mentioned that St John's beat Paul Rose on Friday night, 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1, and it's easy to remember. Liam Harrison got four goals for St John's, and good result. It's a shame that Dylan Vick got injured. Looks as if he's broken his ankle, so that'll be him for the rest of the season. So speedy recovery, sort of. Professionals were saying it looked broke, but with the swelling being like it was, they couldn't really do an x-ray, so hopefully they've got that today, and if it's broke, he gets fixed up and he's back playing next season.
Okay, we send him our best wishes. So Canada Life Combination 1, and plenty of goals all the way around. Let's start up in the north with Ramsey Youth Centre against Ayr United.
Yeah, and with Ramsey Youth Centre today, I think that's a reasonable result for them. Okay, they've lost for 4-2. But Owen Presley on the score sheet, and Will Lasco, I think it was, who got the other one. Haven't got Ayr's goal scorers, but good performance by Youth.
Yeah, 2-1 at half time to Ayr, I believe. So the game between Union Mills and Moran, 8-4.
Was, and really good performance. It was 5-1 at half time. And for Union Mills, the scorers were Lee Christian with two. Leo Hayes got a couple of goals. Colm Geraghty got a four. I thought he would have played in the first team today, but in the combination, good performance. Okay, they conceded four. Doesn't matter. 3 points on the board. And not very often Union Mills will score eight, but they've done it today.
Yeah, and there was a big goal fest at Corinthians, a 6-3 win for Old Boys.
Yeah, there was. And I think it was something like 3-0 within 20 minutes. Jacob Stones was the star today. He got a hat-trick. We've got Mikey Booth on the score sheet as well. Ryan Edge. We've got Danny Corran as well. But Corinthians, rolling back the years Nigel Moody was, he got a hat-trick in to help the team out today. Plays for the Masters, but today called into the combi and did himself proud, did the club proud as well.
And Laxey conceding eight away at Peel.
Yeah, Peel are the top team with Rushen, they're challenging at the top of the table. And it was Jack Keelan who got the goal, or one of the goals for Laxey. But for Peel, it was Dylan, that's his surname, got a penalty and two other goals. We've got Alex Elokongo got two. Kieran Broadhead got one, Billy Kenyick, and I think it was Kazar Senior.
Okay. Into combination two. The one result I didn't have, I don't know if you've got it, Tony, is Douglaston District against Colby.
Yes, that one has just come through, if I remember rightly, and it was D&D 5, Colby 2. 2-0 at half-time to D&D. Dan Robinson with three, Joseph Waddington with one, and Chris Aston was the other goal scorer.
Okay, another game at Foxdale, a 2-2 draw with Jims.
Yeah, and for Foxdale, Callum Way got both goals, haven't got Jims goal scorers.
And Maloo and Castletown was also a draw.
1-1, and the goal scorer was Rob Tier. Now, I'm not too sure if that's Mark Tier's young fella. Remember, Mark used to play for Castletown a long, long time ago. No, that's my era.
All right.
But his son's playing now, and I think that might be
his son.
If it is, well done, Rob.
Okay, so there we go. And unfortunately, the other games, Brad and Michael Onken, Governors, and Paul Rose St John's didn't go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, let's get on with some cup draws, shall we? Because we've got three cup draws to do. Now, normally, we've booked in Norman Mackey, and I would have to say that it's in the past it's been Norman Mackey that's booked you, Tony. So
you're right there, Dave, because obviously Norman you know, runs the Ascot Hotel. They've sponsored the Junior Cup now for a long, long time. We're putting him under pressure tonight because we're going to ask him to do three draws.
Excellent.
Because we've got the Kirby Estates entry, so Norman's just put 16 teams in the bag.
Okay, I'll make a note of these. So, yeah,
draw them out, okay. And I've got the sheet here.
Okay, so what are we drawing first of all, Tony?
Sorry, the Kirby Estates Cal Cup.
Okay, and the Cal Cup, it's the under-18s?
Under-21.
Under-21s.
And this competition is due to start on Thursday the 21st of April. The format this year is a cup competition. Used to be a league, but a lot of games towards the end. And we've taken on board parents' concerns with them doing exams and everything towards the end. So, Andy Campbell, big thank you once again for sponsoring.
And how many teams have we got?
Is 16.
16 teams in total. And so that Norman's makes it quite easy for the draw then. So,
yeah.
And this is the first round.
This is the prelim round, or the first round, yeah.
Okay.
Right then, the first number is number 5.
And number 5 is Douglas High School Old Boys.
We'll play number 11.
Number 11 is Peel.
Number 15.
15 is St George's.
We'll play number 6.
Number 6 is Douglas Royal.
Number 13.
Number 13, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
We'll play number 4.
Number 4 is Corinthians.
Number 10.
Number 10 is a home tie for Onken.
We'll play number 1.
Number 1, bit of a trip for them, Ayr United.
Number 7.
Number 7 is Foxdale.
We'll play number 9.
Number 9 is Moran.
Number 16.
16 is Union Mills.
We'll play number 3.
Number 3 is Castletown.
Number 2.
Number 2 is Braddon.
We'll play 14.
Number 14 is Russian.
Hopefully you've got two left.
I hope so.
Number 12.
Number 12 is a home tie for Ramsey.
We'll play number 8.
And number 8 is Laxey. Have you got that, Dave?
I have.
I'll let you rattle it off then.
Okay, so the draw for the first round of the Kirby Estates Cal Cup is Douglas High School Old Boys against Peel, St George's versus Douglas Royal, Ramsey Youth Centre at home to Corinthians, Onken will be entertaining Ayr United, Foxdale host Moround, Union Mills against Castletown, Braddon at home to Russian United, and Ramsey at home to Laxey. So there we go. That's,
Some good fixtures in there, and it's really difficult to find a favourite at the moment because you can dual register if you meet the criteria. But at the moment, I would say Peel have got to be one of the favourites. Douglas Royal, St George's, I would say Laxey. You always look at the under-18s, how strong they've been. But there'll be some other teams in there. Ramsey, you know, could be a strong contender. It's going to be a good competition, this, and it will be played on a Thursday night.
Excellent. Okay, so that's one draw done. Let's
two to go.
Yeah, let's
24 teams in the bag. Yeah. So we want 8 games.
And this is for?
This is for the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup. This is the one Norman sponsors.
Yeah, okay. And the Junior Cup, of course, is?
Basically for combination sides.
Combination sides, yeah.
Off you go, Norman, please.
So this is the preliminary round.
That's it.
And how many are we drawing out here, Tony?
Just 8 games.
8 games.
8 games.
Okay.
There's 24. Cogs in there.
Yes, that's right. So,
you put them all back in, haven't you?
Yeah, that's fine. We only want 16 out. That's all we want, isn't it? Yeah, we only want 16 out.
Yep.
And then the rest will have a bye. The remaining ones will have a bye to the next round.
That'd be worried,
there we go.
No. There's an accountant for you who works out the numbers.
Number four
is Colby.
And we'll play 16.
Number 16 is Michael.
Number 11
is Governors Athletic.
We'll play 21.
Number 21 is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Number 18
is Peel.
We'll play number 10.
Number 10 is Foxdale.
Number 24
is Union Mills.
We'll play number 12.
Number 12 is Jim's.
Number 20.
Number 20 is a home game for Ramsey.
Against 15.
Number 15 is Moran.
Number 8.
Number 8. Douglas High School Old Boys.
We'll play 22.
Number 22 is Russian.
Number three
is Castletown.
We'll play number 9.
And number 9 is Douglas Royal. And the last game, so the last two out of the bag.
Number one
is Ayr United.
Would you believe play number 2?
Number 2 is Braddon.
There we go. Okay, so the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup preliminary round. It's Colby versus Michael United, Governors Athletic versus Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys, Peel versus Foxdale, Union Mills Gyms, Ramsey against Moround, Douglas High School Old Boys Russian United, Castletown Douglas Royal and Ayr United Braddon. So everyone else has a bye through to the first round.
They certainly do.
Okay, excellent. So the final draw that we're going to hold now.
Yeah, and we've got new sponsors for this one, but Prime Plastering, it's going to be you sponsoring the 100th Hospital Cup this year, Dave. And unfortunately for us, Bryn was away this morning to watch Everton and Man United. We wouldn't take that away from him. And being an Everton fan, I'm sure he's going to travel back tonight, a happy boy. But Bryn's going to come up and speak to us because he's one of the top rugby players on the island. But he's allowed us to do the draw. We need to get the fixtures out. So Norman's got all the 24 teams back in the bag again, and if you could draw us out 8 games, please, Norman.
And I'd imagine just before we do that, he'll be prime plastered after today's result.
I think he will be, but okay. He'll be absolutely buzzing. And what a result that was, too.
It was. Okay.
Here we go. Number 20.
Number 20 is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
We'll play number 2.
Number 2, Braddon.
Number 24.
24 is Union Mills.
We'll play number 16.
Number 16 is Onken.
Number 4.
Number 4 is a home tie for Corinthians.
We'll play number 5.
Number 5 is Douglas Athletic.
Number 11.
Number 11, Jim's.
We're playing number 17.
Number 17 is Peel.
Number 22.
Number 22, St George's.
We'll play number 23.
Number 23 is St John's.
21.
Number 21 is Russian.
We'll play number 1.
Ooh!
Wow.
Number 14.
Number 14 is Maroon.
We'll play number 18.
Number 18 is Paul Rose. And the last one.
Number 8.
Number 8 is Douglas Royal.
And 13.
Number 13 is Malou. And just for clarity, Norman, can you draw out each individual ball now that's left in the bag, just to make sure that we're all done and dusted?
7.
Number 7 is a bye for Douglas High School Old Boys.
9.
Number 9 is Foxdale.
15.
Number 15 is Michael United.
Number 12.
Number 12 is Laxey.
Number 6.
A bye for Douglas and District.
Number 3.
Number 3 is Castletown.
19.
Number 19 is Ramsey.
And the last one, number 10.
And number 10 is Governors Athletic.
There we go. So they'll go through that draw again for the Prime Plasters Hospital Cup. Ramsey Youth Centre versus Braddon. Union Mills against Onken. Corinthians, Douglas Athletic. Jim's against Peel. St George's, St John's. Russian United, Air United, Maroon versus Paul Rose, Douglas Royal against Malou. And Tony, is there a standout tie amongst that lot?
No, I don't. top two in the the Premier League, without a shadow of a doubt, Russian against Air. And, you know, the thing is that everyone's asking, and, you know, I've got no answers, is that basically, apart from a cup competition, if FC Isle of Man win tonight, they play next week, and that, then that's them done. Mm-hmm. So all those players can come back into the football system.
Yeah, oh, they've got some cup games as well, the League Cup as well, but is that a midweek?
Yeah, it's midweek. Yeah. They've got one cup game or one cup round to go at the moment. Mm-hmm. So there's that to play for. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of players there who could be looking to come back and play for their clubs. So we'll just have to wait and see how that one goes.
And let's just hope we're not counting any chickens by suggesting that FC Isle of Man will be playing next week. We've still got a little tricky tie to get through tonight, which we'll talk about later. Yep. And we'll be going down to Rob Pritchard at the bowl shortly. But so there we go. 3 cracking draws. Thank you, Norman.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's good to see. And like now with the light nights coming in, there's plenty of football to play for. Yes, the tired legs and injuries and everything else. But we've got Easter next week. So we've got the FA Cup final, ECAP FA Cup final. On Good Friday, kickoff is at 2 o'clock. Laxey against Air United. So this is Air United. Hopefully, is possible third piece of the jigsaw. They're looking favourites for the league. They've already got the Railway Cup, and now they're going for the FA Cup. They've been given a tough game in the Hospital Cup. So we'll wait and see how that goes. But also on the Monday, we've got a terrific GH call at Woods Cup final. That's 2 o'clock kickoff. Yeah. And that's St John's, who are going to play against Malou. Pretty certain you've got a bit of a soft spot for Malou, Dave. So I'm pretty certain that you'll be down there cheering them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think was it 67 the last time Malou won the Woods Cup? I think I'd have to be reminded about that.
It's before my time.
Yeah, a little bit before my time as well. But certainly, yeah, good luck to both teams on that. But anyway, thank you very much, Norman, for coming in and of the Ascot Hotel and taking part in the 3 draws today. My pleasure. Stick around, though, because we need to talk FC Isle of Man. And we're going to go down to Rob Pritchard, who's at the bowl. Hopefully, Rob can bring us up to date with the build-up to tonight's game, which we're hoping will be kicking off at 6:30 on time. Rob Pritchard.
Very good evening to you, Dave, from a sun-kissed Bol Stadium. The FC Alamann team are currently just getting themselves a picture taken on the pitch with the match sponsor today. But people will notice as they've been filtering in to the stadium from half five, well, actually, just in the last 2 minutes, the gates have opened. Some may be wondering where the Withenshaw Amateurs team are at the moment. If you haven't heard some of the updates we've had throughout the day, the Withenshaw Amateurs team have had their travel heavily disrupted today due to the disruption to flights coming in and out of Manchester Airport today. The delay is around 5.5 hours for the Withenshaw team, who are on their way to the Isle of Man. They have left Manchester, but no confirmation as it stands as to whether they have arrived on the Isle of Man. Now, FC Isle of Man put out an update just over an hour ago, in fact, saying that they were still planning to go ahead with the 6:30 p.m. kickoff time this evening, but that is looking more increasingly ambitious by the minute, I think it's fair to say. And if there are any changes, the club and we at Manx Radio will provide any updates as soon as we get them. But looking past the technicalities for now, it is quite simply a winner-takes-all contest on what has been a thrilling, entertaining roller coaster of a season for the Ravens. They secured that top playoff spot last week to get into this, the NWCFL Division 1 South playoff semi-final. The outcomes are quite simple. FC Isle of Man win tonight, and they go through to that all-important playoff final, chasing that dream of promotion in a week's time. Whoever wins here tonight will in fact face Derbyshire club New Mills, a dramatic end in the other playoff semi-final which took place today over at New Mills Church Lane ground. New Mills winning it by a goal to nil courtesy of a late injury time winner from one of their stars, Joe Bevan, in a tightly contested game over there. So no doubt the Derbyshire club will be watching things with interest this evening. Well, let's take a look just at the squad that FC Isle of Man have in front of them for this evening's clash after some key absences last week in their narrow win over Abbey Halton United. Some of those big names are back in the squad tonight. 8 changes in total. Dropping out of the squad this evening are Fiora Davies, Sam Baines, Jacob Crook, Taylor Andrews, Ronan McDonald, Charlie Higgins, Jamie Corlett and Carl Clark. And coming in are Sam Kane, Chris Cannell, Chris Bass Jr., Steve Whitley, Sean Doyle, Lee Gale, Luke Murray and Dan Simpson. Well, in the head-to-head between the two sides, statistically, both just against each other and throughout the season, there really is almost nothing in it. When the two sides have faced this season, the first time they locked horns was all the way back on the 7th of August last year with a 2-2 draw at Hollyhedge Park played out. And then in the return fixture on Manx soil on the 8th of January, FC Isle of Man running out 2-0 winners that day. Incidentally, that is actually the last loss that Withenshaw Amateurs suffered in all competitions. And in terms of stats just throughout the season in general, again, not much to choose between the sides. FC Isle of Man with the slightly better goal scoring record, 123 goals so far in the league this season from the Ravens. That's the most of any team across all the NWCFL divisions compared to Withenshaw's 102. But the Amies come here with a superior defensive record as well. They've shipped 46 goals this season compared to FC Isle of Man, who have conceded 54. And these two sides also boast the top two scorers in the league. Sean Doyle with 41 goals in all competitions this season, 40 of those in the league, and he's the top scorer across all the NWCFL divisions, so congratulations to him. But Withenshaw Amateurs, they have in their arsenal their target man, Sol Henderson. He has 37 goals in the league this season, so both sides with potent attacking strength going forward. We're expecting a huge, huge crowd here at the Bol tonight, and sources who I've spoken to in the last couple of days from both clubs indicates we could be very close, if not at that point, of a potential sellout here at the Bol tonight. I think you can just put it in your imagination just what the atmosphere could be like this evening once things get underway. In terms of when the game will start, we'll provide updates as soon as we can. As it stands at the moment, it is down for a 6:30 p.m. kickoff, but if anything changes, we'll bring you that as it unfolds.
Thank you very much, Rob Pritchard. So Rob Pritchard reporting for Manx Radio AM, and you will hear live coverage from Rob and Tony Meppam, who's still in the studio here with me, from hopefully 6:30. But we'll, as I say, if we hear any different, we'll let you know if there is a delay to the kickoff because of the late arrival of the Withenshaw Amateurs team. We're not sure if they, I'm not sure whether Rob said they were here or not, so...
I've just had a message through whether it's someone down at the airport that the flight has arrived, but it's like anything else. It's been a tough day for all people involved travelling, going. I know with the Grand National on there were a lot of people, held up at the airport. So we'll see how it goes. But as happened once before, they did delay the kickoff. So we'll just wait and see and get the information from FC Alaman. But if anyone's listening, at the moment, it starts at 6:30.
And so Chris Bass has still not selected his team yet from that squad, but there's a couple of players missing from the squad.
Yeah, there is, and probably the one that people will be looking at is Charlie Higgins. Last week, myself and Rob were talking about the first half. We were under pressure, 1-0 down, and we just needed a bit of magic, and we got that magic from Charlie Higgins. He came on the second half, and then when I spoke to FC Alaman's crew afterwards, Charlie's been coming back from quite a nasty injury, and he wasn't quite 100%, but they knew that with the players away that they had left, they needed someone to deliver something special. Charlie Higgins is that type of player. 18 years of age, to be looking at him and having that responsibility on his shoulders says everything about the kid, and well done to him. A lovely lad. But he changed it completely, Dave. And Adam Mealham with a couple of goals. The second one, brilliant individual, turned and put it in. And they're missing, but there's some good players come back in when you're saying that we're missing some. But when you look at Chris Cannell coming back in, you've also got Chris Bass Jr. come back from suspension. You've got Steve Whitley, Sean Doyle, Lee Gale coming back from injury, Luke Murray, Dan Simpson. I think that's as good as it gets squad-wise. And, fair play to Chris. He's got to try and sort of pick this team, but some good players there to try and sort that lot out, and be interested to see the starting lineup.
And they know who they'll be playing next. The winners of tonight's game will be playing next week.
Who was it?
New Mills.
Yeah. Well done to New Mills, because I thought Abbey Hay might have won that one, but it was going to be tough wherever. And you're just listening to Rod's stats there about Withenshaw. They conceded less goals than FC Alaman. FC Alaman have scored more, but the head-to-head battle, they've lost one and drew one. So it's going to be a real tight game. But when you've got Doyle for FC Alaman, you've got Henderson for Withenshaw, two of the most prolific goal scorers in, Northwest Counties leagues, it's going to be good to watch. And the weather out there, looking out the window, Dave, is looking good. And if you want to make yourself sort of available, get yourself down there ready for kickoff.
Yeah, and it's such an important game for FC Isle of Man as well, because I'm sure they could do another season in Division 2 next year, but certainly that wouldn't be part of the plan, would it?
No, it wouldn't be part of the plan. And I know I think everything's been thrown at them this year, Dave, because when you look at it, the season should have started the year before. Didn't happen. The season started this year, started early. I think it was end of July, might have been start of August. All the games, because of the COVID restrictions, were away. The boys were getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning to fly away Saturday morning, and then coming back late on. So they had all that to contend with. But I just wonder, at the end of the season, whether it's worked for them, because all the games have been at home.
Oh, yeah.
So they've gathered momentum, and you're playing in front of, up to 2,500 people.
The biggest crowds in the division, yeah.
Yeah, massive crowd through the three divisions. Mm-hmm. When you take away Macclesfield, Bury, FC Alaman are right in there, and it's been great support. It stayed sustainable. And I remember when this journey started, people were saying, well, the crowds will be okay at the start and then it'll drop off. The crowds have increased. Mm-hmm. And I think the interest has increased because they've had the continuity of games. And I just wonder if that's worked for them. They'll know best. But I know the players have loved it, playing in front of a crowd between, 1,500, 2,500.
Yeah, the New Mills Abbey Hay, just in case you're wondering, it was a Joe Bevans injury time winner, 1-0 for New Mills, that sent them through to next week's final. Wow. So that's the kind of drama we've had with FC Isle of Man of late, and it's the kind of drama. Is it the kind of drama we want to see tonight?
I don't know, Dave, because the way I see it is, I know what you're saying about the drama, and to be honest with you, I've quite liked it, because you always feel that FC Isle of Man could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lady Luck's going to run out sometime, and I hope it's not this evening. Because we've got a few players that have been away on a week's holiday. They've come back, but they put them through the training session on Tuesday. They were good. Thursday they were good. But it's all down to the night, isn't it? They've at times looked as if it wasn't going to happen for them when they had that double header on the Saturday and the Sunday. But they clawed themselves out of it, and they've put themselves in this great position with some great performances. And the crowds just love it, and it goes mental.
But what we do have to remember about tonight, the they've put in some great performances lately, some great results. But those against teams against lower in the league, this is a crack outfit with Inshore Amateurs.
Well, it is, and New Mills and Abbey Hay, they're all worthy. And, you know, it's all going to be down to tonight's 90 minutes. And if it's all square, thanks for Rob for clearing it up. I wasn't too sure if it went straight into penalties or if it was extra time. It is extra time and penalties. So all I'm saying is if it goes that way, if we kick off at, you know, 6:30, you know, 8:30, we could be into half hour of extra time and then penalties. So bring a blanket and maybe some Horlicks with you because it could be a long night.
Yeah, OK, it could be a very long night. But you can hear all the action live here on Manx Radio AM with Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppham. Tony, we've some of the games still to come this weekend as well. We can't ignore the girls. Tomorrow, the game was postponed last week. In fact, I turned up last week for the Peel Corinthians and for the Canada Life Women's FA Cup semi-final, to be told it was postponed. I think COVID might have had something to do with that. Unofficially, I was told that, but that's why that game is being played tomorrow.
Yeah, COVID was the reason, Dave. You know, it was one of those, the changing of the rules on the Friday. Saturday, we had a problem with Malou. Sunday, we had a problem with Peel. But now, it's up to the clubs to sort of make that decision. And, you know, Peel against Corinthians, it should have been the final tomorrow. So whoever would have won this game would have played Douglas Royal. But there's still, you know, issues out there. But hopefully this game will be played tomorrow afternoon.
And if it does go ahead, when have we got a slot available for the final?
The final at the moment, we're looking at it, but it's really tough because we've got Easter coming in next week. We've got a midweek slot coming up in a couple of weeks. But whether that will work for the girls, I don't know. We'll see. We need to get the two final sides. But then, Dave, really it's the FA's decision. We're, you know, consulting with clubs and waiting for them to find out if players are available. That's not what it's about. So at the moment, I think we could be looking at towards the end of the month, which is 24th of April.
Okay, and I think, I could be wrong, tomorrow Union Mills are playing Castletown. I think it's their final games in the league. We've got one more game.
That's gone, Dave.
Is it?
Yeah, Union Mills can't field a team. So that's gone. So, that's Union Mills wrapped up for the season.
And Castletown, I believe, as well. And, yeah, that's their season because there's only one more game. And that's next Peel. Thursday, Peel and Onchan. Up at Onchan?
I think so. It's not been organised yet.
Oh,
because
hasn't it?
Next Thursday is the Thursday before Easter. And we've been caught out before people break up and whatever.
I see.
So we don't spoil anything.
So
we're looking for a date, but it all hinges, Dave, on the result tomorrow. Peel against
Corinthians. I was told that they were hoping it would go ahead next Thursday, but I went to Thursday's game, Onchan against Castletown, 3-0 victory for Onchan. I can't remember who. It may have been Kaylee Callow, may have got the first goal. I wasn't too sure. There was an own goal, was the second, and Caitlin Roy with her first goal of the season. She made it 3-0 in the second half.
Yep.
So and that was in tough conditions because the wind was blowing straight across Onchan Park, and it was pretty tough, you know, for the girls. Again, one of them games where you needed to see the ball on the ground, really. So
you've just got to get on with it. And there's so many sort of fixtures now coming through, and none of them are weather dependent. If it can be sort of played, if the pitch isn't too waterlogged, then we get on with it. But a day like today, it'll soon recover and games can get played.
Okay. I think, is that all our football business concluded, I believe?
Well, I think so. I think you, because you've got all the draws there, or if you want me to pass them over to you.
No, I've got them here.
I think you should read out all the draws because one or two people might have missed it.
Okay, I'll start off with the Cal Cup first round. The draw was made earlier, thanks to Norman Mackey. And the Cal Cup first round is as follows. Old Boys against Peel, St George's versus Douglas Royal, Ramsey Youth Centre, Corinthians, Onchan at home to Ayr United, Foxdale play Moround, Union Mills host Castletown, Braddon are at home to Rushen, and Ramsey against Laxey. In the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup preliminary round, Colby versus Michael United, Governors Athletic, Ramsey Youth Centre, Peel versus Foxdale, Union Mills against Jims, Ramsey versus Moround, Douglas High School Old Boys against Rushen United, Castletown against Douglas Royal, and Ayr United versus Braddon. And finally, the Prime Plaster Hospital Cup, Ramsey Youth Centre, Braddon, Union Mills will play Onchan, Corinthians also at home against Douglas Athletic, Jims against Peel, St George's versus St John's, Moround against Paul Rose, Douglas Royal against Malou, and finally, Rushen United versus Ayr United. So, okay, Tony. So tonight, just one final word about FC Isle of Man. Are they going to do it?
Yes. Yes, they're going to do it. And if anyone's sat at home in doubt of what to do, get yourself down there, because it's such an important night for Manx football and for FC Isle of Man.
And the Isle of Man.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You don't need to be a fan of football. If you love the Isle of Man and want to feel part of the community, etc., just get down to the bowl this evening. How much are tickets?
I think if you're paying on the gate and it's all by card, there's no cash, I think it's about £10. If you'd been in a bit earlier, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But let's face it, it's a semi-final of competition.
And it's going to be a great atmosphere as well. We've had a good atmosphere so far, especially at the game against West Didsbury.
It was brilliant. And I thought Stockport Town as well was really good. But it's funny, one or two people I know, because I'm involved in the football, who live near the area, just say, can you turn the volume down a bit? No, we don't want the volume turned down. Let that crowd shout as much as they want.
And I'm just going to just pick up on one little thing, because we've had playoffs for years, but in the old days, the FC Isle of Man would have been promoted in second place, wouldn't they?
Well, they would have done, but I just wonder if this has added a little bit to the excitement towards the end of the season of this competition, because when you think of it, going down to the last Saturday, you didn't know which team was going to finish second, and I think the playoffs are quite interesting, and this is good for the Northwest Division 1 South, because the top five, even with West Didsbury, there hasn't been much in it. So it just gives the opportunity of New Mills. You've got Abbey Hay. We know who it is now, New Mills. You've got Withenshaw. And now you've got FC Isle of Man, who have got this huge game. And let's face it, you know, the Isle of Man have been talking about it all this week. You know, where it can go, what it can bring. And as you rightly say, they don't want another year in the league that they're in. They want promotion into the Premier League. Tougher fixtures. Hopefully it'll be easier because it'll be home and away each week, and it's a reward for everything that everyone's done for FC Isle of Man, crowd and all.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, of course, to see how if they do manage to make it through. I know, again, counting chickens, we shouldn't do this, but you know, they certainly seem too good perhaps for this division, and hopefully they'll be good enough for the Premier League. I mean, obviously I think they'll be good enough to stay there, but whether they'll be good enough to move on again, that's another big question.
Yeah, I don't monitor it as much as I can, but certainly when I look at it, when they played Avro earlier on in the Premier League, beat them. And I'm pretty certain AFC Liverpool are in the Premier League, beat them. So there's a signal for you, but it's like anything else. You know, players will come and go during the season, make Premier League teams stronger and make them weaker, as where FC Isle of Man will pretty well go with what they've got, maybe one or two more inclusions. But I think the squad that he's got there probably has all the players that he will need to see him through 22-23 season.
Okay, best of luck then to FC Isle of Man tonight. Tony, thanks very much for your time again, and we'll be hearing your dulcet tones alongside Rob Pritchard. Who knows? At the moment, it's still around 6:30 at the Bowl. FC Isle of Man against Withenshaw Amateurs for a place in next weekend's final against New Mills.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Let's turn our attention now to rugby, and here with a roundup of today's games is Dave Christian.
Yes, good afternoon, Dave. Thanks very much. The big news, I guess, was travel. We've talked about it, or you guys have talked about it, with FCIOM. Douglas Rugby Club also due to travel today to Kendal in North One West. Their flight, they were on the red eye to Liverpool, though it's unfortunately cancelled this morning. And with the 90-mile road trip each way, it was important that they got away early for a 1:30 kickoff. And with the flight cancellation, means they couldn't travel at all, so that game will fall by the wayside. It gives their players a much-needed break, though. Well, some of them at least, because some of them pitched up for Western Vikings this afternoon, and we'll talk about that very shortly. But it gives them a break. I think they've played now 14 consecutive weeks. They've got a break this week. They've got a break for Easter. Then they've got Vale of Loon on the 23rd, Broughton Park on the 30th, and that'll bring the curtain down on their season. So unfortunate for Douglas today. Domestically, though, we had two games in the Ravenscroft Manx Plate, which is just nearing its conclusion. The competition's played on a league format, and at the end of the league format, first place fourth, second place third in semi-finals. They're scheduled for the 30th of April, with the final at the Mirrick Park Ramsey on the 14th of May. Coming into the games today, any one of the four could finish first, second, third or fourth, but the result at Vagabonds this afternoon, Bella Fletcher, Vagabonds Hornets against Ramsey B, has guaranteed now that Vagabonds will finish in the top two, so they will get a home semi-final. That finished 33-29 up there at Bella Fletcher. Ramsey led 19-12 at half-time, with first half tries from Danny Howard, Jared May and Jake Richmond. In the second half, though, Vagabonds come back and they raced into the lead with three unanswered tries and led 26-19 with 10 minutes to go. Matt Rockwell then went over for Vagabonds. He made the game safe, secured the win for them. And a late try, Danny Howard, I think it was, went in for his second of the match. And that gave Ramsey two bonus points today, one for scoring four tries, one for finishing within seven. The other three places, though, are all still up for grabs because there's one match left, Ramsey B against Western Vikings on the 23rd. It was a postponed game from earlier on in the season. I think Vikings had a touch of the COVID and that game postponed. So the second, third and fourth placings will all depend on that game at Ramsey on the 23rd. The game I was at, Western Vikings against Emerging Nomads. Emerging Nomads took the lead in that one. Tony Quinn went in for a try after 12 minutes, I think it was. And Mark Young converted. That gave him a 7-0 lead. But from that point onwards, Western Vikings hit back and hit back very hard. There were tries from James Mitchell, Harry Raven, Zach Kelly and Ed Knight, all before half-time, which gave Vikings a 22-7 half-time lead. In the second half, they accelerated away even quicker. Kyle Martin was in, Harry Goodwin. Harry Raven completed his hat-trick with two more tries. Josh Smith pulled one back for Nomads with an interception, but that was as much as they were going to get. And as the game ran into its conclusion, Charlie Henthorne and Harry Hewson and Harry Raven all went in, which pushed the score out for Western Vikings. Second, third and fourth are the key positions now. Probably Western Vikings in the driving seat. They could still finish top if they beat Ramsey with a bonus point at the Merrick Park. But that will all come out in the wash on the 23rd of April. And before then, of course, we will have an Easter break. No rugby at all next week, other than domestic friendlies. I haven't got a list of those. So I know there'll be an ABC Memorial game at Vagabonds for sure. That's always played at Easter. But aside from that, I'm not aware of any friendlies on next week. And all the action resumes again on the 23rd of April, where we've got Ramsey against Vagabonds in the Manx Cup and Western Vikings Ramsey B in the Manx Plate.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dave Christian, reporting for Manx Radio about rugby. We now turn to our hockey reporter, Sam Spooner, for a roundup of what's been going on in the Isle of Man today. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dave.
OK, let's start off at the Rossborough Women's Premier League and a victory for Valkyries against Castletown 3-1.
Yeah, at half-time it was 1-1. Castletown's goal scorer was Dulcie Tier. Valkyries came roaring back in the second half. Goals from Emily Kelly, Ellen Robinson and Flo Barber. And that now guarantees Valkyries second place in the league.
I don't have results for Backers against Vikings or Ramsey against Valkyries B.
So Backers A 0, Vikings A 8. And that makes Vikings A champions of the Rossborough Premier League. So congratulations to them. Vikings goal scorers was captain Kim Carney with 3, Steph Foxton with 2, with singles for Sophie Hall, Mia Greenwood and Katie Eric. And then Ramsey A 0, Valkyries B 0, and it does relegate Valkyries B. It was a game of missed chances for the Blues, really. They could have won that. But if you look at the form guide, Ramsey A and Valkyries B have exactly the same form over the past 6 games. 2 draws, 4 losses. So you just think if Valkyries B could have had this sort of form early on in the season, they might just have survived. But they're going to be strong in Rossborough Women's Division 1 next year.
Let's move on to Rossborough Men's Premier League. I think the game between Backers and Vikings was postponed, is that right?
It has been postponed, yes, and that's going to be played on Tuesday the 26th of April. I don't know the time at this point, but it'll be in the evening.
And Valkyries saw off Ramsey in a tight game, 3-2.
Yeah, good. You know what, it's a good result for Valkyries, eh? Chris Thomas with 2. I think that's the first time he's played in the first team this year. And Toby Lace with 1 for Valkyries, eh? Ramsey A was Jordan Parkinson and Sam Moffat on the score sheet there.
And another close game, a bit of a 7-goal thriller between Vikings B and Valkyries B.
Yeah, Vikings B, that guarantees them survival now. They sit on 6 points, while Valkyries B sit on zero. Cameron Room with two, Charlie Bell and Charlie Morris on the score sheet for Vikings B. Worth saying that all those players are 18 or under. And then Valkyries B's goal scorers were Robin Masson, Mark Perryman and Bryn Griffiths.
And into Rossborough Women's Division 1. I don't have the game between Vikings B and Valkyries C.
That was a 5-0 walkover to Vikings B. Valkyries were unable to field a team this morning.
OK, so then the game that did go ahead was between Castletown B and Harlequins. 2-0 to the Southerners.
Yeah, and that's a massive result. It turns everything in Castletown B's favour. After being 5 points behind and Harlequins running away with it, Castletown B have now come to within a point and have a game in hand. So if they win that game in hand, they go top of the league. And for me, the Southerners are now the favourites for that Rossborough Women's Division 1 title. Eden McCubbin and Lois Hatton on the score sheet for the Southerners.
Let's go on to Rossborough Men's Division 1. Vikings C against Harlequins A. 6-0 for the Quins.
Yeah, big result for Harlequins there. I don't have the Harlequins scorers to hand, but it does guarantee Harlequins that third place in the league.
And then going into, I don't have any results for any of the other fixtures, actually. Castletown B against Castletown A.
Yeah, that was a late pushback. It was only 1-0 to the A team after the first half, but the A team, as expected, they accelerated away 5-0 at the end of the final result there for Castletown A. Andy Winstanley with two, Christian Stereopoulos, Matty Gorey and Cameron Blamey with a goal each there.
And on to Rossborough Women's Division 2.
Yeah, we've got Castletown Colts 3, Backers C2, a huge result for the destination of this league title. I put my neck out on the line and said Backers C, my favourites for the title. They've got a game in hand, they're top of the league. Well, Castletown Colts turned everything up on their head, and now the top three are now still separated by 1 point. Fern Bragazzi with a hat-trick for Castletown Colts.
Brilliant. Vikings C against Ramsey B.
Yeah, Vikings C, two goals from captain Joanna Roney there today. One from a short corner, one from open play. And that was a big result for Vikings C. They had to get the win there. That does put them back at the top of the league. A point ahead of Backers C and Castletown Colts. But like I said, Backers C do have that game in hand. So everybody's going to be looking at that game very, very tightly. What that does mean is mathematically it's impossible now for Ramsey B to win the league.
Rossborough Men's Division 2, Backers C versus Valkyries C was the early game.
Yeah, that was a walkover to Valkyries. Backers C unable to field the team, unfortunately.
Well, that's a shame. Castletown Colts against Harlequins B.
5-1 to Harlequins B. Don Stewart on the score sheet for Castletown Colts. Harlequins B, they were declared champions 2 weeks ago, but they want to go out in style, and they certainly did today. 5-1 winners.
And Ramsey B against Backers Colts.
And Backers Colts have pretty much cemented that second place now. In fact, they have guaranteed that second place. Goals from Doug Quayle with two and Ashley Sanderson-Sykes with two. Ramsey B's consolation goal scorers, Alex Shimmin and Dan Stevenson.
So that wraps up today's hockey. What's happening with Manx hockey over the Easter fortnight?
So we do have games next week, I believe, but the most important thing is that for the JRPC player pathway, we've got some young players travelling to training tomorrow, named Dom Hubble, Luca Pilato, Joe Savage, Archie Cox, Martha Broderick, Lucy Sutterby and Ella Blakemore. So really good luck to those players there. They've attended every Sunday session that's been put on, and they do have to attend the odd Monday night session as well, which logistically it's a nightmare for the parents. So huge thank you to the parents. Well done to those players and good luck.
And if I can put you on the spot a little bit, the youngsters representing the Isle of Man last weekend did well.
They did, yes, and I've got the details here, actually. I've
Excellent.
Got the write-up. So the girls, they won their, they lost their opening game, won their next two, but unfortunately they went down to in the next games. However, the boys did brilliantly well. They had three wins out of six and finished in third place and overall. So well done to those sides. Massive growth of those boys and girls sides, and fingers crossed that they'll continue their development at a rate of knots.
Excellent. OK, any more hockey news, Sam, or is that it?
That's it. I've got it all this week.
Excellent. Brilliant. That's superb. So thanks very much to Sam Spooner. We will be going down to the bowl afterwards for the for the FC Isle of Man with Inshore Amateurs game. Still due to kick off at 6:30 as far as we know. We'll be handing over to Rob Pritchard around 20 past 6. Before that, we'll be having a little feature about the Ravens' 12th man as well. But to take us up to that point, which would be around 6:15, we're going to play some music and then we'll rejoin for live commentary of FC Isle of Man